Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Hello and welcome into the GSMC Technology Podcast on a Tuesday today here. My name is Tom Doherty, your host. As always, this podcast is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network as we come to you today. It is a Tuesday. It is kind of in the middle of that little, lull. We're going to get, obviously, in September here, the big announcements of our phones, Apple announcements. We're going to get another big Apple the convention, whether it's Mac World convention, where they're going to announce everything that we've been waiting for the last year, seemingly now, as Apple's kind of laid the way. We're going to get there in this first couple of segments talking about the App Store and how the App Store has kind of transcended life. I mean, kind of created. You kind of think you forget about how the App Store actually started at all, really, because cell phones used to just be, you pick it up, you call somebody, you might send a text, you can that was pretty much it. Leave somebody a voicemail, play a little mini game on your phone, but there was no store for applications. There was no store for things like that. So when Apple created the App Store, it just opened the doors for everything. I mean, without the App Store, we wouldn't have Twitter, we wouldn't have Uber, we wouldn't have the ability to create new businesses, to create new features and new services for people. There would be it made gaming more mainstream when you brought it to a mobile platform. You brought it, just spanned more and more off of itself. So we'll talk about that in this first segment, as well as throughout the show. We'll talk about the Microsoft Surface Go, how they're trying to compete with the Apple iPad, and we'll compare it in that segment as well. And then also looking at the price point, which is probably the best part of it. And then also looking at Snapchat and how they actually just today released a library of filters through their Lens library, where now you can go through thousands of different filters that they've had, whether the ones they've had or they're creating more of them, or you can do your own. I think there's even a feature where you can generate your own filters. We'll get to that throughout the end of on the back end of the show. All right, but first, the App Store. I mean, I've had an iPhone since that was my first real smartphone. I think I had one of those little slide, like the LG little slide phones that where you turn sideways and it had the full keyboard. And then I got my first iPhone, I think it was a 4S, I want to say, and then I got a 5S, and now I have a 7S Plus. And no, I've never had any complaints, and it's always nice when you were like, "Oh, do I need to be able to do something?" Whether it's, I mean, booking airplane tickets, which we're going to get to that in a moment. Booking airplane tickets, looking up, reading the news, Google News, TechPort, all this stuff where you can find out information. I get a lot of my information from. I mean, there's all sorts of things. Whether it's video games, you know, Fortnite is going crazy even on the mobile device platform there. So it's very interesting how something like that, where it just basically created a space, it created a storefront, basically, because that's what it is. It's an app store. It created a storefront, but the thing, it wasn't just Apple. They didn't say, "Oh, we're just going to make everything and you have to use our stuff." No, they made it wide open. You can, developers from all over the place could create whatever they wanted. Obviously, there's always a review process and everything. You look at an app and be like, "Oh, has this got good reviews or something?" Then you make a good decision based off that. But I mean, right now there's 500 million people from 155 different countries. They visit the App Store every week. So 500 million people a week from 155 different countries visit the App Store every week. There's over 2 million apps available for download. I mean, this is just, whether Steve Jobs had a vision in his head or not, for this. I don't know if he could ever imagine it. I mean, knowing that he was the guy was a visionary, and he was pretty, I don't want to call him like pompous or anything, but he was very confident in his creation. So I'm not actually that it's not far fetched that he would imagine this could be, it would get this big. But 500 million people are using the App Store every week. And that's pretty interesting, obviously, worldwide. And knowing that not only can you, I mean, it's just think of something. And I always get complaint because I don't like having the little folder things on the iPhone where you can put multiple apps in like a little thing and organize everything. I have like literally 8 screens of apps because I don't like have to have look in these little small boxes and figure out where my apps are. I'll just rather scroll through it or go use the search function of it. And it's just ridiculous. I mean, what do you want to do? Want to reserve a table? Want to reserve a dinner reservation? Do it. Open table. Want to review the restaurant you just ate at that you got the dinner reservation at? Okay. Yelp. Done. You want to go to a movie after dinner? Okay. Go on Flixster. Buy your ticket with Fandango. I mean, it's just everything breeds everything. You have Fandango and Flixster. They are now together. You have Twitter and everything that goes with that. Twitter and obviously I think Vine did Twitter by Vine, so now Vine's defunct, but you could still go on your app store for those. Actually, this is actually it's an interesting thing for those who don't know. And you liked that Vine camera, how you were able to make the looped videos, 6-second loop videos. You can post them on Twitter actually, but there is actually an app on the app store called the Vine camera app, and it will allow you to take videos like you would have with Vine. It's just not going to post on Vine. You can post it on Twitter, I'm pretty sure, but or save it to your phone and probably post it wherever you want. So that's a pretty interesting thing. But, you know, that's just one example I just thought about that. I'm like, no, that's right. You can do that. That's something that kind of combined. We lost Vine. But, you know, there's literally every single thing. Photo editing, ordering things online. I mean, buying concert tickets, game tickets. I haven't bought a game ticket. I think the last 10 sporting events I've gone to were purchased on my phone, and I had the tickets on my phone through the wallet, which actually comes preloaded on your phone. Another one that comes preloaded on your phone is the podcast app. And yes, if you're not listening to this on the Apple Podcast and you have an iPhone, you can listen to it on the Apple Podcast app, of course. And, you know, I think Apple actually now these days is kind of being a little more free with their apps, the ones that come preloaded on the phone, like the music app. I don't use the Apple Music app. I use Spotify. And every time you plug your phone in or something like that to your car stereo or something like that, it'll play the first song on your Apple playlist, whatever your iTunes playlist is. And I just literally could not take it anymore. So deleted the music app. Just bye. And you're just like, I'm just going to use Spotify. Sorry. So you used to, I don't think you used to be able to do that. Now you can delete whatever you want. Well, literally the App Store changing our lives. I mean, there's different things we can go through specifically, but like it turned in. I think it bred more phones. Obviously, Google didn't really have this. There was a Google Play Store. Androids had something like that. The App Store was really the first central marketplace to find things that you need, pretty much any service you want. And like we said, it breeds space for companies to create. I mean, we had the tech bubble back in the early 2000s. Now we kind of got the app bubble, where it was all about, I mean, go watch, if you have HBO, which you can download on the App Store and watch it on your phone, just FYI, go watch Silicon Valley, the show Silicon Valley on HBO. And that isn't that far-fetched. Those main characters, the show starts season one, they're in an incubator. And an incubator is something where a guy buys a house and lets people live there, assuming that they're working on an app, whatever it might be. I mean, there was that show, obviously, is more satirical. So there were some illicit apps that they were working on in that show. But I'll let you guys go figure that one out for yourselves. But I mean, they lived there and they worked on apps. And then the owner of the house would get whatever share of that business that they would make, because they basically are business owners and entrepreneurs able to create businesses through apps, through that way. And then the App Store obviously allows them to sell their product. So it did lead the way for more of a centralized store for Google, I think. It led the way for obviously much more a lot of clones and different ideas from different companies. I know obviously Google was able to kind of curb the market on all the other companies. So they got HTC, which is going downhill. Motorola, Samsung, LG are all under the Google umbrella, and they all use the Google Play Store. So it's pretty much Google Play Store and the App Store at this point. So I mean, as far as it goes, you know, it has made everything a must-have. It's kind of integrated into our lives now, where it's like, get it on the App Store, get it on the App Store, get it on the App Store. Okay, new service, get on the App Store. Like I just heard on the radio a service for on-demand laundry service. So it's called Rinse. This is not a plug, by the way. It's called Rinse, and it's a on-demand dry cleaning service where they come pick up your laundry and dry clean it and bring it back. And I'm sure, where do you find that app? Oh, it's in the App Store. Oh, you want somebody to walk your dog? Oh, there's an app called Wag. Somebody will come walk your dog. And you could literally, it GPSs the route of the certified dog walker and even tells you where the dog pooped. Like, it's ridiculous. It is just ridiculous. I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous. You can whatever you'd like. So I mean, it's just like I said, new businesses, more streamlined ways these days. What if you're a dog walker? What if you have your own private dog walking service and you can't get any business? Well, how would you do it? You just join Wag, and now you don't even have to worry about people finding you or word of mouth or whatever. You become a certified dog walker with them, and people find you through them. It just, they don't have to know you. Anna's really good with dogs. Why don't you give her your dog? She'll take it for a walk. Or you have to be the known dog walker of the neighborhood. No, you just join this service now, and it works. The same kind of thing now with a lot of different home services and things I do. Babysitting, I'm sure if you go on care.com, is for the same thing. They have an app on the phone. You go get certified, and you go from there. So, I mean, it's all sorts of thing where it's actually now, we're figuring out, leave it to humans to figure out a way to accredit somebody or to certify somebody and make it more forthwith, which actually is great. So, I mean, like I said, with the, there's different things like Angie's List and different accreditation. I know there's I think Angie's List actually does have an app, but you know, everything, there's mostly things have apps and everything. You can now everything. You can check your credit, creditkarma.com, boom, as an app, book airplane tickets. I mean, you guys know all this. I don't need to keep telling you all the things you can do with the App Store, but the thing is, it's created spaces for everything, and now it's going to, I think, even evolve more when we get the new iOS 12, where it could, and it's like, how could you really integrate it even more? I'm like, well, it could give you more things that, where it's going to suggest you things that you could possibly need. I think it's going to integrate better with Siri, where you could tell Siri to download something. That'd be a better idea. But as well as the fact that every app listed in the App Store, Apple's very good about bugs and about malware and stuff like that, and viruses. You know, you have a Mac, you're pretty good protection there. So I mean, Apple also, it's a very, very tight curation process of getting all these apps onto the store. And when they come into the Apple Store, they're virus free. Like, this is not going to mess with my phone, even though it's a third party feature where, I mean, even if it's a small company, I mean, you're going to have the Southwest Airlines app. I think you're pretty good with that one. But if you have, I mean, I'm trying to think of a little app that I have on here that is a smaller company here. So I have a currency converter app, XZ currency converter app, and it wasn't the most like flashy, like, you know, like main blue chip app. It was just a regular app. It was like, they're probably six of them on their currency converters, but that one was the highest rated, and you can trust Apple to make sure that there's no viruses within that app. So I mean, the fact that now we're getting things where it's going to be it works faster. The processing speeds on our phones are higher. Everything's, obviously, we're using mobile for more and more and more things. I'm going to get to more stuff when it comes to Google and some services they're going to be announcing when it comes to things you can do on your phone in a moment here. But yeah, this App Store is quite interesting, and it's going to probably transcend even more. I mean, this is the first time we've really talked about it on the show, because it's really simple in itself. It's, you type something you need into it, and you get it. It's pretty simple. It's amazing, actually. You say you need a like I said, I needed a currency converter app. I could have gone on Google. I could have gone on Google and just done it, but I wanted an app just to have on my phone. You downloaded it. Boom. I needed an app to flip a picture because it was upside down and I couldn't, or actually it was backwards. So I needed to flip it. I mean, you can change the orientation of it on the phone easily, but just flipping it in general, it was back. I wanted it to be backwards because it was front face camera, took away the front camera, and you could find an app. No problem. Oh, you have a picture that won't fit on Instagram? There's an app called InstaSize. It'll shrink your picture down so it'll actually fit within the Instagram, and you can actually crop it the way you want. It won't cut anything off. That's another thing. There you go. All right, we'll come back after the break. I'm going to do some talk on the Surface Go and the new price point for that, as well as the competition it's trying to acquire or beat out, at least. And then also some news from Google and Google Pay. Stay tuned.
You want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do. All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
All right, welcome back to ESMC Technology Podcast on a Tuesday today here as we are. Before I get to the next stuff on the Samsung or Surface Go over there, the Windows Surface Go, which is trying to compete with the iPad, you know, compete with that. I think it's pretty much the iPad now these days. I don't know if the tablets are the Amazon Fire tablet or this, I don't know, the Samsung Galaxy Tab. That did not work out very well. Apple's pretty much took over on the tablet front, but you know, this is going to be the other most competition they're going to see is this Windows Surface Go tablet at I think is it retail at $399 is what they're doing it. It's $399 at the retail for the tablet. But quickly before, I wanted to just touch on some more stuff with the Apple Store and how we kind of overlook the fact that we used to use Blackberries and flip phones, and the screens used to be about an inch or two, and it was really small and small text. And the App Store, obviously, with the introduction of the full screen phones, they're called more of the slate is the classification for these kinds of phones, where it's, you know, just one kind of rectangular brick and has a screen on it. That's pretty much it, and it's a slate, flat slate, and it pushed developers to start using different code and different platforms. So usually you'd have a thing like Twitter, or just for an example, Twitter didn't start this way necessarily, but just for an example, say Twitter started before, like when we still had Blackberries and was just online only. So they'd have a web platform, and then have to transfer that platform into mobile. But now we're getting so accustomed to using just mobile only, or mobile mostly, at least, or at least tablets, as I was saying before, things are being developed in mobile initially. So, I mean, it's getting more kind of a mainstream where things are, you know, we're going to develop this for mobile first, and it's going to be a situation where, you know, it's going to be better for us. It's going to be better. People are going to use our service more on their phones on the go than they would on their laptops or on their desktops, because I think less and less people are going to be using them in the near future. I think laptops are on the way out. We're seeing these Surface Go's are going to come with keyboards, and they're going to be kind of I don't know why. It's kind of a no-brainer to me. Okay, I'm going to buy something that has a fixed keyboard, and if I want to use just the screen, I kind of have to like hold it a certain way, and hopefully I have a touchscreen laptop and I don't want to have to use the trackpad every time. Or use have something that has a detachable keyboard, like a Surface or an iPad Pro or iPad regular iPad now. You can buy the only problem is you have to buy the keyboard. Well, you know, you actually can order one from anywhere. You can go on your phone through the app if you don't have it already, but go on Amazon through the App Store, get the Amazon app on your phone and order it. a whatever kind of keyboard you want, because it's just through Bluetooth. I have an Apple iPad mini right here, and I have a, I think I have a Logitech or a Samsung or whatever wireless keyboard that I already had, and it just pairs right up with the iPad, no problem. No problem. My entire senior year of college, I did not use a laptop. I typed every single thing, every paper I needed to do was right there on the iPad. Very simple. Because, I mean, these days with Google Drive, which is another great thing, example of the App Store. Google Drive is very much a desktop service that they had used. So you use it, you know, sharing different things. Now they have the apps. They have an app for the Google Drive, which is the, you know, the kind of, you know, your cloud service, kind of, you know, it's like a little memory stick, but in the cloud, it's got all of your documents. Then you obviously have Google Docs, Google Slides, the whatever their equivalent to Excel is as well. So they have apps for all that. I think it's Sheets or something like that. They have apps for all that on the phones. You can get just separate, and you can now start using and sharing different documents. I mean, I know I group work in school and stuff like that can be really annoying, but you can monitor your group mates. You can see who's on and who's using the Google Docs site if you share something with somebody. So, I mean, I don't need to go into a PSA on Google Docs. I know people, especially the students out there who have used it, know that it's a pretty cool service, and the fact that they've gotten that onto the mobile platform so efficiently and so well. And that's also, you got to give these people credit. This is the first time for everything these days. I know that the apps are constantly updated and things like that, but most of the brass, like, you know, basic bare bones of these apps were created for the first time ever. And I know they can be tweaked and things like that, which is what you need to do, which for to make things better. Bugs and stuff like that always happen. But the fact that they rolled it, all the interface, all the look of it, everything was the first time, first go. And it works very well. And, you know, a lot of different apps obviously get panned and get bad reviews and they get fixed. But most of these big mainstream apps from obviously like Google, the fact that Google has a service like that, and their main competitor, I mean, the thing is, these competitors, they know when to take a step back, and they know when to put their nose to the grindstone. So like Google, they knew that it'd probably be in their best interest to allow to have their apps on the App Store. So they allowed to have their apps, the Google Drive, because Apple has iCloud, but you know, we're going to infiltrate your service and make people use, and people are going to use our service more, but we're just going to use it through your platform. Thanks. Google Maps, same way. Google Maps is leaps and bounds better than Apple Maps. At least even still now, I think, just with the different services it has with traffic and everything as well, real-time traffic. That's available on iPhones. You can do that, no problem. Another one is Microsoft did the same thing when they made Microsoft Word and most of the Microsoft Office most of the Microsoft Office tools and programs are available on your Mac and even on a tablet, on an iPad. So yeah, different things are being, you know, you're seeing some sort of crossovers and stuff like that to be able to get onto Apple, because, you know, because these people, they're not silly, they're not stupid, they're like, okay, well, we're gonna expand our, we aren't just gonna keyhole ourselves into the people who use our devices, we're gonna try and get our services across all devices, and they've done that. So like I said, the App Store has created just new things. I mean, you see Netflix, Facebook, FaceTime, everything, YouTube, everything is becoming, it's also pushing it to, pushing us to be more accustomed to watching video on these small screens. I mean, I actually, especially with the Plus, like I have a Plus, so I think it's like 5.7 inch across. It's very, you hold the phone close enough, you have a little pop socket thing, you hold it up to your face, you can very easily watch a Netflix show on here. You can very easily watch YouTube, FaceTiming people. We're all becoming used to watching and getting content even on these smaller screens, because obviously you hold them up close close enough to your face, the aspect ratio is the same anyway, so it doesn't really matter. And that's something that I just was like thinking, like in between seconds, like, wait, duh. That's what kind of like another thing where it kind of transformed the way that we take in video. And we don't have to go into our laptops anymore. People watch YouTube videos. I think if you probably figured out I'm sure that YouTube has the analytics, but the amount of people who watch YouTube videos on their phones versus watching them on the laptops are probably, if the phones aren't leading, it's very, very close. Like, I know there's still a lot of kids who have, now these days, most kids, when they turned 14, 15, they have a laptop or some sort of tablet or something like that to do schoolwork. So, because most schools, like these days, I don't know if that's something else we probably talk about on the show later in the week, is how education is going towards the going towards more of the web side of it, you know, using computers and using desktops to for education and getting things more, you know, being able to create a program that could be used across the nation for schools to educate students is a very cool thing. But then also the fact that these kids are getting new computers, schools are getting grants to get computers, and it's almost a requirement to have some sort of internet access for even a middle schooler these days. I mean, my sister is a sophomore in high school. She just finished, and she's on her laptop for almost every assignment that she did. College, same way. We're getting very paperless, which is good for different reasons and stuff like that. But now it's getting to a fact where these kids are going to, a lot more people are going to have these devices. And whether they're, I mean, they're going to use it, like you said, YouTube and things like that. You can find the numbers and see that we're still using our phones to watch plenty of content. I know IGTV just came out with their thing because they want to, people are going to watch the stuff vertical because that's the they're copycatting on Snapchat. I mean, it's another thing. People, yeah, Snapchat figured out that we're okay with watching things on our phone. We can take content on our phone. We can take news programs, many small news programs in on our phones. No problem. I'm not sure what I know. I've already gone on my rant a couple weeks ago about IGTV and how I don't know how they're going to try and get these creators to create long form videos that we're going to sit there and watch on our phones vertically. The thing about Snapchat is that most little news updates are probably a minute long. A minute or two long, whether it's NBC News or Mashable or Vice News or I think they even have TMZ on there, ESPN. So, I mean, all that kind of stuff. It's a news outlet versus letting the creators, like, I mean, Instagram probably going to get Logan Paul, like an example like that. I don't know if you can think of that, or Marcus Johns or something like that, or Amanda Kearney, D Storm Power, all these guys who started on Vine, kind of went over to YouTube and are now using Instagram as well. So, I don't know what the deal with that is. That's another app that definitely got figured out its way through the App Store and has become gigantinormous, obviously. That's my word right there, gigantinormous, when it comes to these mega, ultra mega social media firms. Obviously, YouTube being a part of Google, and then Instagram being a part of Facebook. Everybody has to have a little, a big brother or a parent above them. But, you know, the App Store, gotta love the App Store. I'm really excited to see how it's going to change. I don't think it's going to change much. I don't think you're going to see any big overhauls, but just where we're going to go next. New apps, new innovations, new ways to do things. Now you could do on-demand laundry. Somebody can go pick up your laundry and take your laundry to the laundromat for you or to the dry cleaners for you through that Rinse app. Just an example. I just heard about it you know where I heard about this app? Of all places, because I'm still like 50 years old. The radio, AM radio, and people are like, you mean iHeartRadio? Like you listen, you don't have the premium service. You have to listen to ads. No, I meant like AM radio. That's the only time I ever listen to commercials is on AM radio. If I'm on Spotify premium, thank you. No commercials for me. But yeah, no, AM radio still has commercials. I can't get around those, and they're 5 minutes long, of course, in between segments of these talk shows. Unlike my breaks aren't that long. They're not that long. You can skip through. Podcasts are cool. But yeah, no, that's where I heard about it on there, which is pretty interesting. But as far as it goes, I know I'm just running right through this segment here, which is fine because we have plenty of time left. We still have a half the show to go for you guys. We're going to get into the talk on the Microsoft Surface Pro or Surface Go. Sorry, Surface Go. And then Snapchat and the plethora of filters they have just released today, or maybe re-releasing, because I know they kind of rotate out some of the filters. Obviously, they keep the most popular ones, but I think they're really allowing you to have every single one they've had created. And then I think they're actually going to even have a lens studio where you can go and make your own filter however you'd like it. So that's going to be pretty cool, kind of getting that creativity aspect of it. That's one thing that I think that we're going to start seeing more. Like talk about the over... I don't want to say overhaul, not an overhaul, but shift. Like a shift or a pivot in the App Store, maybe. And especially with these phones getting more and more bigger and things like that. I know we're seeing more hands-on stuff. It's probably more is more creativeness, more creating platforms for people to be creative, whether it's like Snapchat, creating, being able to make your own filter or something like that, or having a situation where you can have an app where somebody's going to, you're going to help, you know, draw something or create something, some sort of, they're going to come out with, I know there's probably apps that I haven't even heard about that are for helping people create songs or create manuscripts or a screenplay or something like that, or write a book or even start on a novel or something like that. So there's going to be all these helps, and I think we're going to get to a situation where you're going to have apps that are going to even help you do creative things that might not, that might be on the complete other side of tech, where it's, you're actually creating a, you're drawing something, like I said, or you're writing something, or you're singing something. It's going to be all kind of integrated into that, and we're going to be able to use apps to push ourselves forward and learn new things. All right, that'll wrap it up for this segment. We'll come back and do the talk, actually this time for sure, on the Surface Go. I won't go anymore into the App Store. It's pretty amazing, and like I said, it's also a historical archive of tech history in itself. All right, well, I'll come back after the break. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Technology Podcast on a Tuesday. Today here is we'll actually get into some talk on the tablets. Like I said, we were going to today. So Microsoft comes out with the Surface Go tablet. That's going to be priced at $399, and it's going to be a 10-inch tablet that's going to, you know, is it going to come with the keyboard like normal? I'm assuming so. It's going to come with the keyboard and normal, and then it's going to... I think the mouse and the pen are extra. So, yeah. So if it looks like that's the, and that's even for the base model, it's going to, it jumps really quickly to $600 if you want to put the, that's really the type cover is for, is the keyboard. Okay. So that's the keyboard is, so $600 if you want to add the keyboard, the more RAM and a faster SSD. Okay. So yeah, it's already going to $600, but I mean, that's compared to the new iPad that we talked about a month ago, that was being more marketed towards education, and it's lowering the price, obviously. So the $329 iPad is coming out, and it's actually is compatible with the Apple Pencil, which is hopefully they should drop. I mean, that's $100. It's $99.99 or whatever it is. Why they don't drop it to like $60, I don't know, or at least maybe $75 would make it a little more reasonable, I think, for a stylus, basically. Just, I know it's got smart or whatever it is, but I've yet to find out what the cool $100 capabilities of it are. It doesn't have wings and fly around, so I mean, but you know, on this with the Surface, I think that they are trying to aim to, you know, go above and beyond of the iPad, above and beyond of the Chromebook or the new Pixel Book from Google, which is pretty much the same thing, except it doesn't have the keyboard. They call it the type cover. So it's the cover for the tablet is also the keyboard when it comes to the Surface, versus like the Pixel Book is a laptop, and then, you know, it has like the same folded, like that was the whole thing. It folds backwards and everything goes completely, whatever, the 270 degrees of the foldability. So you can have it be without the keyboard or have it stand up, which I think actually is pretty cool. The fact that it's a stand in itself and you can still use a touchscreen. But looking at the price points, this one is the one that stands out in itself because of the fact that it's a 10-inch screen and it's the Surface Pro where, and it has all Windows, it runs Windows 10 and everything. But obviously you're taking a risk because this is we've had our issues and tribes and tribulations with Windows 10. And we've also had our tribes and tribulations with cheaper Microsoft products from Microsoft that are priced lower, basically. They have a lower price point because how do you think they get a lower price point? Do you think they take a little less money to create them? Yeah, you think? They still have to make their margins. And Apple, I don't know if Apple does the same thing. Apple, I don't know. Do you think both of them would maybe still lower the prices while also keeping the same quality because of the fact that they're already uber rich, mega, gigantinormous companies. But, you know, Apple comes out with their $329 iPad. That one's 9.7 inches, is compatible with the Pencil. I don't think the stylus doesn't come with this one either, does it? With the Surface Pro. That's the one thing that is the questionable, is that it has to Surface Go versus the Surface Pro. See, it's the problem. Too close. Pro and Go, but this is, yeah, so Surface Pro is still more powerful, but this one's gonna be a 10-inch display, a little less powerful than the Surface Pro, and so it looks like they did change a bunch of it, but it's only going to be 4 gigs of RAM, which is 64 gigs of slower eMMC storage. Yeah, so it's got the less powerful Intel processor. So, yeah, you think they dumb it down a little bit, you think? So if you want a faster, it's basically your discount. It's a discount tablet. They put less RAM, lesser processor, lesser space on it. So it's just different storage, lesser storage on it. So, I mean, whether it's the rapid memory, stuff like that. So, I mean, it's going to already get $600 if you want the faster one, which means you just go get an iPad then. That's just making sense. So obviously, they're not trying to, like I said, the cheaper iPad was targeted at students, at schools, at education. They don't have a target clientele yet here for the Surface Go. It's not targeting a Surface Go to any customer. It's not really doing it. It's not going to try and kill iPads because that's not very easy tree to climb right there. It can try and go after the Chromebooks, but Chromebooks are kind of becoming obsolete in themselves. You go to the Google laptop store, which I just did, it's laptops by Google. It's all about the Pixelbook, which is their competition to their tablet, basically. And it's going to be a little mini computer. It's like a laptop. We talked about it, that folds back and forth. Then looking at this picture of the Surface Go and the Surface Pro next to each other, you can definitely tell that it's the little brother to the Surface Pro. This new one is much smaller. I think the Surface Go is like 12-inch display versus a 10-inch display here on the, or at least 11.5-inch display for the Pro. But you know, this is going to be one where I don't know what they're pricing it as. I know Apple's base price for the iPad is $329. They're trying to get it to schools. You can obviously upgrade that for sure, but I mean, just seeing whether it's worth buying a tablet. We're seeing that experts, and even of course I'm pro Apple, I have my Apple tablet already right here, but I would go buy that one. Go buy the Apple one. See if you need some upgrades with it. But if you really, you're going to definitely, you might not need the upgrades with the Apple tablet. You could buy the $329 one and you'll be just happy with it. But if you buy the $399 Surface Go, you might not be happy with it and you want to upgrade, and all of a sudden you're at $600 and you're like, okay, why didn't I just get the cheaper iPad and be happy with that one versus having to go through all these upgrades with Microsoft. So that's, I mean, whether it's, and I'm not trying to call it like tactics or anything, but they're like trying to rope you in, and then all of a sudden you're roped into this one tablet and now you're like, oh, okay, well now I want this. Unfortunately, they can't really, it's kind of tough to do that because once you buy the $399 one, you can't take it back and all of a sudden say, oh, can you add all this stuff to it? No, you have to be at the store right now before you buy it, the first one, and say, you know, I want to upgrade all this stuff. Give me the higher powered one. And they will then obviously charge you accordingly an extra $200. So I think it's much worth it to just go with the, I mean, if, think about the math here. So it's $400 plus $200 to make it more worthwhile, basically to get it to the same level as that $329 iPad, where you can just spend another a half the amount that you spend extra on the Surface Go to get all the extra stuff, and you get a pencil. So you can spend $430 or $450 after, you know, round up a little bit, on the tablet and the iPad and the pencil. Good to go. You don't get, you could, and then go order a $15-$20 keyboard on Amazon, or you can order the $399 Surface Go and then pay the $200 for the more RAM and more space and the type cover and whatever might have you, and now you're at $600 versus $430, $450, not even $500, and you have a keyboard, a pencil, and the iPad. I'm not selling for Apple here, but I'm just telling you what the numbers is. Simple math, that way it adds up. And the way the reviews are going, I'm reading with these tech reviewers saying that Apple tablet, I mean the iPad, the cheaper iPad, is very good. It works very well. It's all you really need in an iPad, especially if you're using it for schoolwork. If you're using it for much more high powered things, obviously you want to get maybe a better one. But if you're using it for schoolwork, it's very, very functional, and you could buy that with a pencil and a keyboard for under $500 versus getting a Surface Go and spending $600 to get the same quality. So, I mean, you're saving $100. I mean, just adding it up in my head there, it makes perfect sense for me. In my head, as far as it goes with that. So, I mean, this, we're looking at when you think about all the things outside, I mean, yeah, it's $999 for the type cover face, because obviously you want to buy the keyboard that, you know, covers it up, versus getting an iPad. Like, I have an iPad here, has a case on it, has a cover. I have a separate keyboard. It's magnetic and it slides right onto the keyboard, onto the bottom part of my case. It's magnetized and it stays there. Take it off, put it back in my bag, and I'm done. I don't need to have attached to the tablet. What if I don't want the keyboard at all? What if it's in the way? Just don't use it. What if I just want to use the tablet by itself? There's no keyboard in the way. So that's the one thing. It's having a random keyboard be sitting there. Like, even the same thing, kind of thing with a Pixelbook. You fold it back to just use the screen only, and now the keyboard's on the back. Your, like, hands are on the back of the keyboard. It's kind of weird. But, you know, that's just my personal preference. That's why I'm thinking that I would definitely buy. I mean, you don't, like, go buy a crummy wireless keyboard. Buy, like, a Logitech or, like, a nicer company keyboard, but it's not going to be $99 for a keyboard. It's going to be probably $25 to $30 for a keyboard. So I'm going to say you can get it for under $500 if you do the Apple one, if you're really trying to make a decision there between these two things. And also, don't be afraid to go look at the new Pixelbooks. They're a little more pricey. I was just looking at what the price point is for the Pixelbook, and it's definitely a little more because you're getting more, and it's going to be more of that combination versus a tablet and that computer and a screen. I think you could actually take it off. Can you take that one off the keyboard? Does that come off the keyboard, kind of like the Surface does? I got to see here. So it looks like, yeah. So it's the Pixelbooks for 128 gigs are $99.99. So yeah, it's a little more. It's like buying a laptop. It's more closer to buying a laptop than buying a tablet. But I'm pretty sure it does. Fold it into a tablet or stand it up. So yeah, it's a unibody. It's not going to come off the keyboard. So I mean, that's one thing. If you want a detachable keyboard, then iPad is the way to go, because they don't sell them like that. They don't sell them where they click in, or I think that you can separate the tablet from, yeah, obviously you could separate the Surface Go if you want. That's the one thing I did like about the Surface Go is the keyboard physically clicks onto it, and then you can click it off as well. So I like that part of it as well. So I mean, my sister had one of those things, a little back fin thing that kind of, like, you know, the kickstand in the back got stuck, and it's kind of weird. But, and then maybe an older model. I don't want a keyhole. The poor Microsoft into saying that they make crummy tablets. But right now, I've made a decision. I've always been an Apple person, but just doing the math and seeing the reports and the reviews here, that's definitely the way I would go for the $329 iPad. Don't just stay the way it is. It's fine. Then get the pencil for $100. Now you're at $429, and you're still not at $600, and you can still go get a wireless tablet that is compatible with any Bluetooth device. It doesn't matter. It's just Bluetooth. That's how it works. You can get a wireless keyboard for, I can even look it up right now. Here, look it up on Amazon.com through the app, which has gotten on the App Store, because this is the App Store. This is all about the App Store, right? So, wireless keyboard. Here we go. How much do these, what's the price point of a wireless keyboard? A nice wireless keyboard. Now, I don't need a mouse. Well, actually, a mouse wouldn't be terrible. But a Logitech keyboard, $19.99, right there. Logitech keyboard. You can get a nicer one, obviously. That actually comes with a mouse, too. It's $19.99 for a Logitech keyboard on Prime with a mouse. $20. So there you go. You can get your iPad with a pencil and a keyboard for, if I can do math correctly, $480. Done, plus tax, obviously. So it'd be probably $500, which is still $100 cheaper than plus tax, obviously, because you got to think about that, especially if you live in California like me, where it's crazy taxes. But that's what I think. That's where you want to wheel and deal with your tech stuff. You got to listen to me. Listen. All right. We'll come back and talk about Snapchat a little bit on the other side, and then we'll sign off and come back on Thursday. So everybody, stay tuned. We'll be right back for the last segment of the day.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Technology Podcast. Hope you enjoyed Tom's Tech Saving Corner over there. That last segment ended up just turning into me trying to save you all money, which is fine, because this is a technology show, and we do review stuff and look at different ways to get your best bang for your buck on here, because I don't work for Apple, I don't work for Microsoft. It's not my best interest to try and make them money, but I will try and tell you what I think, and then also what the experts think, where I'm getting in my information as well. So if you guys want to go read this article that kind of give you the whole expose and more in depth on the Microsoft Surface Go, I would go over to TheVerge.com, and it'll be right on there under their text section. So if after you're done the show and after you're listening to the show and you still need some tech stuff to feed your tech mind or get your tech fix, go to TheVerge.com. It's a great source for lots of different stuff. They have even not just tech, they have science, news, culture, cars, all that kind of stuff. So I use that a lot. I've been using The Verge for a while. Got to give them a shout out because they're a great outlet as well. All right, getting into some more stuff from The Verge. Actually, I just saw something pop up on their feed here. Okay, I have to give these really quickly here. For those who are wireless, those looking for a wireless speaker, I have one of these. I actually have the Mega Boom. It's a UE is what's it called? Universal UE is the company. It's a UE Mega Boom. If you haven't heard of that, it's a wireless speaker. But they also now they have a UE Boom 2, and it's only $59, which is actually a very good price for a wireless speaker and for one that sounds that good. Because the UE, I think it's Ultimate Ears or something like that, or it's what UE stands for. But It even comes with a mobile app. You download the mobile app. It even comes with a mobile app where you can turn it on, toggle on and off your device. You can pair it with other other UE devices. You can toggle the sound quality different if you can control the treble, bass, and stuff like that. If you'd like, obviously volume control as well. All wireless with your phone. So just want to look at that. Adele.com looks like you can. This is the lowest price we've seen for this speaker. For sure, and it's a really good size. It's a very, it's shockproof. It's, I think it might be waterproof as well, but definitely very good, as it has a really nice tough rubber outside, and has, you know, it's a cylindrical shape, so it has kind of a, you know, 360 speaker 360 degree sound, and very good battery life as well. So I want to give you that really quickly. I just saw it, I'm like, whoa, yeah, shockproof and waterproof. Yeah, it's gonna be mounted on any tripod. I used to hang it from my ceiling because it has a little hook on it, and you could hang a, I used to hang it from my ceiling with a little clip from my, from like, you know, it has a hook on it. So you just clip something like a old carabiner and clip it to the ceiling fan or from a light fixture or something like that, and play music around your house. And it gives you great surround 360 sound, which is pretty cool. So, I mean, see, I saw this, I'm like, whoa, I have to talk about this because $59. The one I got was $250 for the big one, and this one's $60 for the small one. And this is obviously the second edition of the small one, which probably means it even packs a bigger punch in the smaller housing. And obviously, it works really, really well, and has a pretty good range as well with the Bluetooth. So I would do that. It's, this actually is part of a doorbuster deal with Dell, as also they have to do this right before or Amazon Prime Day, which I think is tomorrow. Speaking of Amazon, I didn't really get into that as much, but those who have Prime, I'm pretty sure Amazon Prime Day is tomorrow. Or no, it's going to be July 16th to the 17th. Okay, so that's next week. You have to, yeah, next Monday. It's usually Monday, Tuesday. That's what I was kind of figuring. I was like, whoa, it's usually Monday, Tuesday. So yeah, be next Monday and Tuesday is Amazon Prime Day, where I think if you spend a certain amount of money, you can, you get certain things. And also they have like the flash deals as well. So I mean, yeah. So it looks like if you, Amazon will give you $10 if you spend, to spend if you shop at Whole Foods before Prime Day, which is interesting. And then Whole Foods also has some Prime Day deals as well. So we can go, we'll go over that maybe on Thursday. I know this isn't a food show, but it still has a little bit of a crossover because of the fact that Amazon owns Whole Foods now. All right. So as far as it goes, go on to Dell's website and find that UE Mega Boom 2 or UE Boom 2 at Dell, and get it if you have $60 for a speaker, because it's a very good speaker and I have to vouch for it entirely. All right. Getting into some stuff when it comes to Snapchat and their filters. They are have this new Lens Explorer that will let you browse different filters through whether it's by community or ones that you can create yourself. So like I said, we talked about the Lens Studio, I think, a little bit ago about how you're going to be able to develop your own filters, but now there's going to be more than 100,000 lenses that have been created to date, as well as you'll be able to, they'll separate public stories as well for by people. You know, usually you separate a public story by like an event or a location. They're also going to be separating them by people who use the filters, which is pretty cool too. So you can see what filters are being used across the world. So right now, it looks like that Snap Lenses built through the Snap Lens Studio tool has been viewed more than 2.5 billion times already. So, which is pretty crazy. Yeah, so like I said, you can go into that Snap Lens Studio and create your own filter, and maybe it'll get viewed by a few million people before you know it. So, I mean, I don't know if you'll get any credit for it, but it'll be viewed by a million people. All right, so here we go. Back to the App Store. We're back on this because that Snapchat thing was pretty quick, but the reason why I was really going into the App Store is because it is the 10-year anniversary of the App Store itself. And there are many different things that come out of the App Store, whether it's an app that turns your phone into a gun and makes gun noises, or turns your phone into a beer bottle and looks like it's there's beer floating on your home screen, or there's even an app that it's called Die With Me, and it, you only can go on it if you have 2% battery or less, and you can chat with people anonymously who also have 2% battery or less, and it's actually really cool. And you literally, all of a sudden they just disappear because either their phone plugged in and they went over a certain amount of charge, or their phone died. It's also an app called Live With Me, and you only could be on it if you're 97% or more, which is pretty interesting on your phone. So it's pretty interesting how that works. But there's like, you can even, I mean, there's tons of YouTube videos you can go on and watch people reviewing stupid, silly apps. But this is a, like I said, 10-year anniversary of the App Store. It was launched with 500 apps back in 2008, and that was what Steve Jobs called that, quote, the biggest launch of his of my career. Steve, speaking for Steve Jobs, but now 500 apps back 10 years ago, and obviously we've multiplied that times a lot. We have with 2 million apps now, from 20 million registered developers, and obviously revenues creeping up or even topping $100 billion in its time, lifetime. I mean, Candy Crush by itself, the in-app purchases are probably, I don't know if that even counts that, versus this, you know, 10 million could be the actual purchase for, if like apps that aren't free, versus like, you know, the apps are free and then they get you on the inside like Candy Crush, how it goes. But, you know, the App Store, it's pretty transcendent, the fact that it's been able to give us the ability to do some pretty mundane things very easily on our phone, while also being able to do very important things and very product-based things on our phone as well, productive things, I'm trying to say, on our phone. And then I do actually totally remember to get this, but now, here's an announcement for those who have not read it yet, but this is not the App Store. We're shifting over to Google Pay. But same kind of, you know, getting things where now we're I'm sure Apple will have it very soon. Where you probably can do it on your Apple Wallet now, I'm assuming. You could put your, if you order, I could double check this, but you can now have airline tickets in your Google Pay. In Google Pay little wallet thing. I know Apple calls it the Apple Wallet, so you can now use it. You can check in your airline flights with Google Pay. I would not be surprised if you could put, like, at least Southwest Airlines has some way to do put your Apple Wallet. So I'm trying to, I would not be surprised. Hold on. For if you could do Apple Wallet with Southwest, or at least, yeah, so yeah, mobile boarding passes, yeah, exactly. I mean, Apple probably, I'm pretty sure Apple's had this for a while with the mobile boarding passes, but I just saw through the wires here that you can start doing the same thing with your Google Pay service. You could have your plane tickets on Google Pay now, just like you would on Apple Pay. So it looks like they're trying to pick up the pace there when it comes to that. I know that we're getting to a certain point here where everything is like wireless or through the phones, or I mean, you guys, where you're paying people through Venmo or PayPal or Zelle or the Square Cash or Cash App, whatever you're using. Now we're getting more and more into, like I said, mobile ticketing. I bought tickets for the last probably dozen sporting events I've been to on my phone. And you just scan your phone, your Apple Wallet, your Google Pay handles it all. What I haven't gotten quite into is because I don't really carry a wallet, but I have my credit cards, like credit card still, and I have like a little clip for it. But so I still use that. But now these days, pretty much everything has a beep scan thing for Apple Pay or for Samsung or Android Pay or whatever they're calling it. So you can just do that too. That thing, I think that the plastic is going to start going bye-bye once we start. I mean, we can't really get rid of it all in one, because we can't force people to use iPhones or use phones, smartphones. But there's plenty of people out there who still use the flip phone and or a BlackBerry or something, and you can't use mobile paying. But I mean, that's something that I think is going to catch on very, very soon here. He's having your look at that, sir. My Giants ticket's still in there right now, but this my Apple Wallet. Using the Apple Wallet to just use for day to day transactions is going to become a pretty mainstream pretty soon here, I think, as Apple also, like I think I reported last week, they made a deal for a credit card with Merrill Lynch, or was it Barclays? I think they used to have a I think it was Barclays. Now it's Merrill Lynch. The Apple has a, you can get a credit card through them as well. And now the Apple actually even has their cash transferring a service as well, where you can use Apple Cash to transfer between different users. All right. That wrap up for the show today. As it was a pretty full one. We talked about the App Store. I kind of give you my my fanboy experience of how I like Apple, and also we reviewed and looked at the price points of different tablets. The Surface Go has come out. It's a 10-inch tablet. You can also look at that compared to the 9.7-inch iPad. And we've done the math already. You save $100 by using an third party. If you really need a laptop, if you want a keyboard, it's a thing. If you want a keyboard, a third-party keyboard, you get the Pencil, you get the an iPad, and you're still spending less than you would for an upgraded Surface Go. Because they give you that $399 price tag, and then you read into it, and you're like, oh, okay, here's why. Because they gave me a lower processor, lower RAM, lower memory, so everything. So whether it's a situation where they're going to try and rope you in, you look at that $329 iPad and you realize, oh, it's actually pretty good. That's all I really need. Maybe a little bit more space or something like that, but you can always get an external hard drive and then have that for other things as well. And then you get your Pencil and you get your $20 keyboard and mouse and you go at it. So, because it's all Bluetooth, it's pretty simple. All right, that'll wrap it up. We'll come back on Thursday. Everybody have a good middle of your week, a good Tuesday, and a good Wednesday. We'll be back on Wednesday. We'll be back on Thursday, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.